I just wanted to thank you all for coming and to begin by acknowledging that we're meeting today on the sacred sovereign lands of the Kulin Nation. We're on Wurundjeri and Bunurong land on this side of the river, and on the other side of the river is Wadawurrung country. So I want to pay my deep respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and to all Aboriginal people and to all Indigenous people who are here with us today, and say thank you for allowing us to be here. And I really also want to just say, take my hat off to the wonderful Lola May. It was fantastic working with you, and it was a real privilege, and it was great because you introduced me to artists that I didn't know, and then we had artists that we knew together, and it was just a real joy to be working with you on this exhibition.
So today we are sitting down with Gideon Wollongia.
Yes.
Is that how I pronounce
yes.
it correctly? Excellent. And Ebony Hickey, two of the artists involved in the Fluid exhibition. And it's an opportunity for us to dig a bit deeper into their processes and their artwork, and I guess how they view their practice. So I guess I'll open it up to Gideon and Ebony, but I will firstly start with talking about the pieces that are in the exhibition currently. Gideon, your work is up as you enter the space, and you have three beautiful photographic prints. And I guess for me, what I find so beautiful about them is that even though they are posed, they don't feel staged. They feel really natural. Am I correct in getting that sense from that? How do you feel about...
Yeah, so that's really interesting that you say that, because whenever I create work, I don't want it to feel staged or put together or like overly thought out. Obviously, I do think about my work and the thought, there's a purpose behind it. But with this one particularly, I didn't want it to feel too staged, because I do work in the fashion industry and everything is very staged. Everything has to look a certain way, everything has to be perfect. And so with this specific work, I wasn't going for perfect. I just wanted to take a photo of what was there, capture what you see in front of the lens without it being too manufactured.
Yeah, and I think that you captured that really succinctly with not cropping the background out.
Yes.
I think that was a really beautiful part of it, because I personally felt like I was welcomed into something quite personal and quite intimate, but there was that consent there to see and watch your experience.
Yeah, so showing the background is always in a lot of photo shoots that you see with people using backdrops, they usually crop out the background, but I really wanted to make sure that people understand that this is not real, it's all an illusion. And also kind of plays off the idea of fluidity as well. Everything is, an illusion. Gender is not a real thing, and so I just wanted to, play on that as well. Just a little bit, showing the background.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, but very well done.
Thank you.
And is this your first exhibition of your work?
This is my first, it being showed live. I did one at the end of last year, Futurism, with Wyndham Art Gallery as well, and it was an online exhibition. So this is really interesting, seeing my work up on actual walls. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it gives work a different context.
And being involved with all these incredible artists is a little bit intimidating, but super, super sick to be a part of.
You're in great company, as are the other artists. Your work is absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
So thank you for being a part of it. Ebony,
Hello.
Hi. I think that your work is so layered and so intimate that I've gone to look at it and experience it a number of times because I think I get something different from it every time. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm most curious about is how this work developed, this particular work.
Yeah. So this particular work developed through Fuck Fabulous.
Yana Alana.
Yes. Yeah. So we did. So I had an opportunity to work with a crew. So Fuck Fabulous is a kind of anti cabaret kind of show, and it did get taken up to Sydney, and then COVID hit. But I was given the opportunity of free reign, pretty much.
Amazing.
And was able to come up with ideas with other professionals.
Yep.
And I really enjoy working with people with other professionals, like video, directing, and all of those kinds of things, because what it opens the door to many layers that you might have not seen.
Yep.
And I think definitely this piece of work was the first time I worked on something that was transparent. It was see-through. And the first real professional work with film, so someone filming, yeah. And I think that I learnt so much from that experience.
Yeah.
And I think that definitely seeing the work. So the work is originally, you know, first, like it is projected huge onto a stage.
Yeah.
And I think I have very multi-layered practice.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you're, I follow your art on Instagram, mm-hmm. and you do a lot of self-portraits and a lot of drawing. And I guess this piece, having seen some of your other work, mm-hmm. is such a beautiful culmination of all those different parts of your drawing. And in terms of your inspiration behind the piece, I know that Megan and I felt that it was, and I hate using the word brave, but as artists who we draw on a lot of personal content, mm-hmm. it is brave and an act of bravery to put mm-hmm. yourself out there. And a lot of times it's not all rainbows and sunshine, mm-hmm. where, you know, art comes from a very deep, dark mm-hmm. place sometimes, you know. And I guess it was that bravery that created a resonance. Mm. I think definitely watching the piece and looking through, so it was interesting you said transparent, mm. because that's a perfect way to describe the whole experience. Mm. You had so much transparency in your personal narrative and, you know, the quality of the work. Mm. I think that if there is a takeaway that you would want the viewer to have, what would it be?
Acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. I think very much so that the piece that is upstairs, it's very much, it's a piece that is kind of like, it's a visualization of me and what that meant growing up in Australia, predominantly white and adopted from Haiti. So I think just acknowledgement doesn't mean that anything has to change, but I think that definitely, I know that the spoken word over the top, something just might pop into someone's head, or just acknowledgement to always, but to acknowledge that there are different people out there, you know, and there is a struggle, and things can be really hard and personal. And I find the more that I can talk about those instances, because I know that there are young ones coming up who have been adopted, young ones that are a person of colour, young ones up who are queer. And people have done that before me, you know, to create,
you know, to create a sort of like an environment, a society where we actually have to fight for it and stand for it. And I feel like talking about that stuff, I think it's healthy, and I think it's mentally healthy, and I think it also opens your box up to keep exploring all different things. And I think also I don't think I will stop exploring the issues about adoption and being a person, you know. So
And I think, you know, to sort of leave off from what you said, there's a toolbox, and if you can even open the toolbox, let alone getting that person to add some new tools into it, would be fantastic. I mean, you know, you said things don't need to change, but it would be great if they did. You know, and I think that's really important. Art has the ability to start conversations, and even if someone objects to something they see, it's still a conversation. And I think that that's really important. And I think the work in this particular show is starting conversations that some people may not want to have. But like I said to Megan the other day, you can walk through the show and in every piece there's so many layers that I feel like anybody could walk in and find something that resonates with themselves in it, whether it's an instant gut reaction of, oh, that's uncomfortable, or, you know, I may not understand that, but it's an act of seeing and then learning, I think, which is what is so important about both your works, because they both deal with issues, societal issues that are so ingrained, especially in this country, that are such important conversations to have.
Yeah.
You know, and Gideon, your work, it has such a, I guess, for me, looking from my perspective as a queer woman, it's not confronting. But I can imagine that for people who don't exist inside or have the language or the knowledge or the first-hand experience, a lot of this work could be confronting for them. But I find there is such a... there's such a dichotomy in your work. It's vulnerable, but it's extremely proud.
I think, not to cut you off.
No, go for it.
I think, like, my work, I very much pride myself in creating work that comes from a very vulnerable place. I always go, every time I start creating anything, I always go back to the 10-year-old boy who was confused about himself and wasn't sure about who he was or where he stood in the world, because everyone was throwing all these things at him, telling him, you know, this is what masculinity looks like, this is what being a man looks like, and you don't fit into that, so something is wrong with you. And so I always create work that would reassure that little boy that, no, what you are is fine, you know, you can look like this and still be powerful, like your femininity is not something to look down on. It's actually, it can be you know, a really powerful weapon. I start work from a vulnerable place, so I think it's awesome that you see that.
Yeah, and I think also having read your artist statement, and to paraphrase, you watched your family members.
My aunties and my mom, and my sisters. I used to, like, this particular work is inspired by, I used to watch them get ready for parties, weddings, and just how much fun they'd had with each other during that session, because it was always like this sacred moment that they shared together, getting ready, doing their hair and makeup, and putting together their clothes. And I always wanted to, you know, be a part of that, but they would tell me, no, boys cannot put on makeup. You cannot wear these fancy, colourful clothes. You've got to stick to your little shorts and pants and T-shirts.
Yeah.
I was always very envious of that. And so growing up, a lot of my work, in a way, has been created from that envy that I had. And even my own self-expression comes from that envy that I had of them, of not being invited into that space. So now I can pretty much do that and put it into my work and have zero fucks about it, basically.
Yeah, but you do it with such a lovely reverence to those matriarchal links in your family. I think that there's a real sense of you paying your respects
as well. Yes, definitely, in a way. A lot of people tell me I look like my mom, and like I always like draw inspiration. Even when I'm styling, I always draw inspiration to like, how would my mom wear this?
That's amazing. I
have
this
extremely stylish auntie. I always be like, how would she wear this? Would she wear those shoes with that shirt? Should like these color combinations together? So it's always an homage to them. One way or the other. My upbringing always just sneaks back into my life somehow. Yes, I was looking at your work. I was stalking you, as one does. And I thought your work was really brilliant. The fact that you, I guess you use your own personal experience as well, and the fact that you really put yourself into your work. There's no... I guess my question would be like, is there a difference between Ebony and Ebony's work, or do you see it as a package deal? Like it all comes together. A
package.
Yeah.
Definitely all comes together. I think that there's probably three or four different Ebonies in there. I've got Coco Mass, who I do as a drag king at.
Amazing.
I have a spoken word, I have a spoken word voice, I have a painting voice, I have a sculpture voice. I kind of have, I can identify like the different things and what I definitely want to do through my practice for kind of each one, but it definitely is always everybody's in there together, about their experience. So yeah.
I think that's what makes your work very unique as well, because you really do put yourself into your work, and I always gravitate towards work that's personal. Like it's inviting us into a space that most people wouldn't be comfortable inviting people into. So I thought that's really great and awesome about your work.
Thank you. I think that definitely for me. In my work, vulnerability, I try to use it and flip it. I think that there's been so many instances in growing up as in Australia as the black kid, always the only one black kid in class, and all of these other things, and also being quite tall and big. And so there's all these incidences that I've grown up with, every day-to-day thing, even, just that classical racism of every day. But I think that there has been a flip. It's kind of like it can either hold on to me and destroy me, or I can try and flip that energy and use that. And I think that's very much so. I'm used to that also from performing. So that really quite nervousness, but knowing once you are there to do what you have to do, you're in your mode. Because when I'm at home and I'm working or doing art in my mode, that's like I'm in another world.
Yeah.
But I think vulnerability, to me, I use as power, because there's other people out there like me.
Yeah.
And I think like if I could just, be a little one and see your stuff when I was little, that would have made such a difference.
Right, yeah.
And to see that, because masculinity and femininity, it's not a gender.
Really, it's not.
And I think that definitely here in Australia, with male and female, masculinity, femininity, and there's a line straight down the middle. But in other countries, masculinity and femininity might look very different.
Yeah,
And I think it's important for our work to be seen, because we don't know... This might be one person who might say, at least you acknowledge it and you said it out loud.
Right, yeah. No, that's very impactful, because I grew up with zero representation in terms of, people who I could relate to, or even just work that I could see and be like, I see a little bit of myself in that. So it's always, I feel some sort of responsibility to be that, to create work that can give that little black boy, a little black girl, you know, anywhere in the world, that feeling like, okay, there's space for me in the world. And it's also interesting that you said that here in Australia, everything is very binary, you know, there's masculinity, femininity, and then we put each thing in a separate box. Yeah. Because even though in my culture it's similar, it's so funny because in our languages there's no gendered pronouns. Like there's no, all the pronouns can be used for anyone. So there's no specific he, she, it's pretty much they, thems, in so you just have to figure out who the heck they're talking about. we go by names now. I find that to be quite interesting, the fact that it's very, I guess, we're told this is what a man's supposed to do, this is what a woman's supposed to do, but also in our language it doesn't reflect.
And I think that's interesting to note too, because you know, binaries exist in, especially in Australian society, in a white colonialist society. Binaries exist across the board in everything. If it comes to wealth, when it comes to class, when it comes to culture, race, there are these very predetermined binaries of where you sit, because there's a preoccupation, I think, with being able to classify something straight up. And I think that we exist in a very, I guess, a binary that's based in fear of the unknown, fear of things that can't be understood at first glance, that can't be put into a category. And I think that's where, you know, artists like yourselves who are putting yourself into the work, I think it's really, really powerful, because I think it puts a... And when I say putting yourselves into the work, in both your works, you are literally featured in the work.
I think that... definitely for myself, that how important the body is. You know, myself growing up, didn't see any representationship, whatever that is, of myself in TV. You know, I remember looking at anything in the supermarket, anything with a brown face and all of those kinds of things, as anyone African descent wasn't visible to me when I was young. And then as I started to get older, they'd sit in certain categories, and then you start to figure out, that's right, the black person's always the first one to die, there's always one black funny one. Right. So there's all these ones, and they're just stereotypes. And then I think by putting myself in my work, and how powerful a body is, as in for other people to look at, or to have that power within myself to use my body the way that I want my body to be used, and the way that I want my body to be seen, and for my body to kind of be the main, the object, as in this is me.
There's an agency.
You're not going to get anything, this is what you get.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, for me, that's important to definitely see people of colour in their work, about how important it is, even walking into the NGV, it's kind of like, it's still kind of like, yes, there's a person of colour. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we are here, we're not just fitting those stereotypes for everybody.
Right.
And giving our, letting our bodies tell the story.
Mm.
And your story, not a story dictated by, you know, colonialism or whiteness and not having that body whitewashed, you know, like I said, standing in your own power and having agency over your own story. And I think that that for younger generations is probably one of the greatest gifts that you as artists can give, you know?
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Just to bounce off that, I think it's very important to have artists, black artists that, you know, do completely different things as well, like, because we're very complex as humans. We don't all do the same thing. There's a million different ways to be black, and like a lot of times in Australia, there's, you know, those very stereotypical, very narrow, one-dimensional idea of what blackness is, and we experience blackness differently. We know different black people. Like, our surroundings itself will just give you like a million different versions of what blackness can be. But, you know, what the media shows is they would like to see blackness to be. But like, I think it's really cool that, you know, artists like us can exist in a space like this and, you know, be authentic and show that blackness is a very complex and complicated thing.
Yeah.
It's not just one thing.
I think it's interesting, and I think maybe a little bit more will be coming out, but also about white privilege.
Yeah.
Or how that also, instead of like addressing white privilege, but I could say also me, because I'm adopted from Haiti, so Haiti's like a very poor place. But yet I'm adopted from Haiti in Australia and also working with those privileges that I have. Mm. But I think getting people to acknowledge what kind of privilege they have, because I think some people don't understand about having running water, fresh running water, or being able to have a bath and that water goes down the drain and no one drinks it, you know? And I think that we have, and also I reflect on myself and I think, well, you know, I've been put in this place of privilege myself. And how do I work with that privilege? I get to, you know, be educated. If I'm sick, I can go to the hospital with no money, you know? And I think that very much works. I think that's definitely something that I really kind of want to start working with it. But then I would also ask, well, the majority of the places that we show our work is run usually by a white person or Caucasian person.
Right.
So, and it means about how much of what we're trying to say doesn't get picked up and taken over when it's handed to like a person to run a show or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it's like, what's the difference of, is there a difference of having the black artist and a white person running, would there be a difference if there's a black artist and a black person running it? You know? And I think that, to me, is a very interesting ground about how, you know, I kind of like deal with that. And I actually, in the lockdown, there are some photos which I started taking about that privilege that I have. But yet, I have that privilege, but yet I'm kind of on both sides of the fence. It doesn't kind of, like, this isn't where I belong, I don't belong back there, but I belong in this world that is a world that looks differently at black people.
Right, yeah. I think that's a very interesting thing you say there, because also that privilege is not a privilege that we ask for. Mm. It's a privilege that we have because we're in a country that's been colonized by white folk, right? So by default, we come to this country, there's things that we're going to be, there's privilege that we're going to have as black people, obviously not the same kind of privilege that white privilege is. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting place to come from as an artist, putting those things into consideration. Because a lot of the time we do want to showcase our work, but you know, the places that we showcase our work, the way it's received it's going to be different because it's run fully run by white people, and sometimes they don't understand the work in a way that, let's say, if another black person was running the place, would understand or receive the work. So I think it's important to have artists, black artists presenting their work, but also it's important to have black curators and black people running spaces like these too. So.
Yeah.
And I think that extends to, you know, all areas of the arts, you know?
It extends
to arts education.
Yeah.
It extends to the panels who are choosing work for grants.
Mm.
Oh. It extends to government, you know? There's all these places where the trickle down is whiteness.
Yeah.
It's just so wonderful to sit here and listen to you guys converse about it, because I think that, you know, conversations between artists with perspectives such as yours is really important to hear. I think without this filter of whiteness trickling down, you know. So I would like to thank you both. Yeah, I thank both of you for the emotional labour you put into your work. I think it's really beautiful, and it's a privilege to see your work up in the gallery.
Thank you.
Thank you.